being careful or cautious about your walk with the Lord. That's what devout means. And folks, boy, that is lost in many churches these days. Not many devout, careful, and cautious about their worship and their walk with the Lord. How about you? How about me?
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, for many of us, the Christmas story is so familiar, yet we seldom stop long enough to ponder the incredible truth contained in it.
You know, Dave, that's so true, and within all the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, Christ can be put on the sidelines, although he is the true message of Christmas. So with this in mind, let's turn back to the scriptures so that we get our focus right for this Christmas season. And let's turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 25 to 35.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, as we go through life, we realize we're presented with circumstances throughout this life to which our decisions have an impact on our future. Those of us who are older recognize there were times where we were presented with decisions that truly impacted our lives right now. Now, every one of us will come upon circumstances in our lives that we need to make decisions when we're presented with choices, and they're all varying and they're different. But yet there's one presentation before us that we will all need to make a choice regarding, and that's the presentation of Jesus Christ. And how will we respond to that? Today we're going to see the laying forth or the presentation of baby Jesus. And so would you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 35. And as you're turning there, we're continuing our Christmas series before we get back into 1 Thessalonians. And as we look in this book of Luke, I want to share some of the context. The Gospel of Luke is Luke's inspired account of everything that he had carefully examined in consecutive order to share with us. It's based on his investigating literally everything carefully and writing it in consecutive order. And the Gospel of Luke is about the Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord. And in the first chapter, Luke presents the forerunner of the Messiah, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way concerning the Lord Jesus, the Savior. And intertwined in that first chapter, within the presentation of John the Baptist, Luke also chronicles the angel Gabriel's announcement of the birth of the Son of the Most High to Mary, a virgin who would conceive. And it's from this announcement we have Mary's greeting of Elizabeth, or after that, where Mary responds with her soul exalting the Lord and rejoicing in God, her Savior. Then in chapter 2, we have the only detailed account of the birth of Jesus. We have the angel then bringing good news to the shepherds that a Savior has been born for them, who is Christ the Lord. And with that, we have the heavenly response of the heavenly host praising God, glory to God in the highest. And then we see these shepherds going to the manger, finding it exactly as they were told. And they make known the statement which the angel had said to Mary and Joseph. And Mary treasured these things. And then the shepherds went, glorifying and praising God. And it's at this point we come to our passage where we're going to see the presentation of baby Jesus. Again, Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to move back a little bit to verse 21, but we'll be looking primarily at 25 through 35. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took them into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, as we begin here, I just want to look at the immediate context here. Look back in verse 21, and we see that Jesus was given the name that was given to him by the angel, and he was called that, and this was at the time that he would be circumcised. Verse 21, "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, circumcision, contrary to what many people think, was often done at the home, not in the temple. And it's on the 8th day that they would name the child, and he would be circumcised. And we saw that back in chapter 1 concerning the naming of John the Baptist. And this is exactly what Jesus' parents did with him, and then he was circumcised. So we have this on the 8th day. So they're not in Jerusalem initially here, they're at home. But it's at this point, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, in obedience to the law, they go to Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. But they couldn't do that until something had happened, and they were obedient to the law. Look at verse 22. "And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, in Leviticus chapter 12, there was a requirement for the ceremonial purification of the mother after the birth of a child. And then afterwards, an offering would be given. And in this ceremonial purification for the male child, the mother would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, and she would not be able to enter the sanctuary for another 33 days. And that time doubles for a female child, Leviticus chapter 12. So Jesus was at least 40 days old when he was brought to the temple to be presented. So look at verse 22. See, in verse 22 he says, "And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, and as we see in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Now, in Exodus chapter 13 and Numbers 18, we see that every firstborn male was called holy unto the Lord, or set apart unto the Lord. And that is presented to him, and then a price would be paid to redeem that child in a sense. Numbers 18, 15 through 17. And this was a reminder of the reality that the Lord redeemed the firstborn of Israel during the final plague of Egypt, where the blood of the Passover lamb was put over the doorposts to save the firstborn. It was a reminder of that. So Mary and Joseph bring Jesus, he's about 40 days old, to the temple to be presented before the Lord. And notice they also offer the sacrifice required by Leviticus 12, verse 24. "And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, upon a side note, if you read Leviticus 12, you'll see that Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. This was an offering for those who would not be that wealthy. So then Mary and Joseph are being obedient to God's word, and they brought Jesus to the temple when he's about 6 weeks old. He had already been named. He had already been circumcised. And then, if you look down in verse 27, They did this to carry out for him the custom of the law. And in verse 39, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. So Mary and Joseph are at the temple presenting the Lord Jesus according to the law. And it's at this point something happens that will amaze Mary and Joseph. They come across a man named Simeon. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Take a look. Behold, that's what that word means. We need to pay attention. And then middle of verse 25, this man is described. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Our text says that he is righteous. He was righteous and devout. He was righteous. And indeed, we know even from the Old Testament quoted in the New Testament, there are none righteous, not even one. Obviously, he's righteous because something has happened in his life. And we know from Scripture that he has a relationship with the living God through faith in the seed of Abraham, which brings about righteousness, a righteous standing, and then the ability to walk in that righteousness. He is righteous, and that will manifest in his behavior and his desires. He was an Old Testament saint. And notice, he's also described as being devout. And it's interesting that Luke uses this word also in the book of Acts. It speaks of taking hold of well, being cautious or careful. And in the context of religiousness, in a sense, it's being careful or cautious about your walk. It's being careful or cautious about your walk with the Lord. That's what devout means here. And folks, boy, that is lost in many churches these days. Not many devout, careful, and cautious about their worship and their walk with the Lord. Simeon is a believer who was careful and cautious in his walk with the Lord. How about you? How about me? Are we careful and cautious? Are we like this? Cautious in our walk with him? Well, notice we have another description of him, middle of 25. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. He was a righteous and devout man who was continually, habitually looking for, or you could translate it, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, what's the consolation of Israel? What is that? The term consolation, paraklesis, speaks of comfort. It speaks of comfort. And in the context of the Old Testament truth that was revealed, there were true believers who were waiting for the comfort of Israel. And that comfort would be in the context of redemption because Israel was walking in sin. And God had been disciplining them over and over again. They were looking for the comfort of Israel. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You see, Scripture reveals Israel's rejection continually, habitually, although they were religious. And yet there were a few devout, righteous through faith in the seed of Abraham who were looking forward to what God had promised for the nation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. And call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed. It speaks about the future saving of the nation of Israel from their sins by the Messiah that she has received of the Lord's hand, double for her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This Old Testament saint was looking for the redemption of Israel, the comfort of Israel. He was looking for that. He's a godly man in the midst of an ungodly religious nation. He was righteous and devout. He was looking for the one who would bring the forgiveness of sins and true comfort. You see, we're not going to be comforted. We're not going to be consoled until we recognize who brings forgiveness of sins and we trust in Him. And so then we have this nation outwardly following the Lord. The majority would later on reject the Lord, crucify Him. But there was a remnant of those, including Simeon, who were looking for the comfort of Israel. Simeon was a godly man waiting for God to fulfill His promises through His Messiah. Tremendous reality. And notice he was also Spirit-led and submissive. Look at verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." His focus is on what the Lord has promised, and is yours? And then he says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." The Holy Spirit was upon him. You could literally say it this way from the original language. The Holy Spirit had been upon him continually. Continually. This is a true believer, as we will see, yielded to God, and His Spirit was continually upon him. And notice within this, verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple." You see, the Holy Spirit had revealed to this true believer that he would not see death before he had seen, end of verse 26, the Lord's Christ. And remember, God spoke in many ways and many portions before, but now He has spoken through His Son. Hebrews chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit somehow revealed to this man that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. Now, the Greek term translated Christ, the equivalent to the Hebrew term translated anointed one or Messiah. It spoke of the prophesied Redeemer King who would rule, but yet would have to suffer then for the glories to follow. And so within here we see, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple." The Holy Spirit was upon this Old Testament saint. He was a man led by the Spirit of God. He was a yielded man. He was righteous and devout. This is a good guy, and he was focused on the promises of God being fulfilled. That's what we need to be. We need to be righteous because of faith in Jesus Christ, which will manifest as we trust in Christ. And we need to be careful and cautious about our walk with the Lord as we walk on this earth. And we need to be looking for the promises that God has promised to fulfill. And we see the Spirit of God was upon him, and he led him. It says here, he was being led by the Spirit of God. Now, why would Luke share so much about the character of this man, Simeon, and the Spirit leading and revealing things to him? I think in a moment it'll be clear because of what this man will do and say, because it doesn't ultimately come from him. He's led by the Lord, and he speaks the truth of God, as we will say. Now, one last observation about Simeon. Notice he was also a submissive servant. Look down in verse 29 for a minute. "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy will." Notice he humbly calls himself the Lord's bondservant. And what's interesting, he doesn't use the normal word for servant here. He uses a different word from Greek, despota, which spoke of a master who had absolute sovereign control. He's the Lord's bondservant. He's a servant under the master who has sovereign control over him in everything. And folks, that's where we need to be. We need to recognize that we have a good master who gave himself for us, and that the master of sin and selfishness is a horrible master that leads to death. But when we trust in Christ, a good master, and we obey his word, it is for our good. When our hearts are changed and our desires are changed to submit to a good master, we are blessed. And here we have Simeon, a godly man, the Lord's bondservant. So let me ask you this question. Would the Lord describe you in this way? Are you a Spirit-led, yielded, devout, righteous, careful, humble servant of the Lord? Would the Lord describe you that way? I know there's times when He wouldn't describe me as that way, and we need to confess and see ourselves rightly, that we would be like this, where we would allow God's Word to change our heart and our desires, and we would follow Him righteously in the context of faith and devotion, as we see. So then we have a good picture of this man, Simeon. Now let's take a look at the response of him, Simeon, this believer, to seeing the baby Jesus, his salvation. We see that at the end of verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now look at 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he, that's speaking of Simeon, took him into his arms and blessed God and said. So Mary and Joseph, with the baby Jesus, are in the temple to present him according to the law and to give that offering according to the law. And here we see, in obedience, we're actually presenting the Lord himself, the Lord's Christ. So Simeon takes this six-week-old baby, Jesus, into his arms, and how does he respond? He responds by blessing God. The term blessing means speaking well of. And it says here, verse 28, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Holding Jesus, he declares that now he can die in peace, that promise fulfilled that the Spirit had made clear to him, because he has seen with his eyes thy salvation. He fully acknowledges to the Lord that you've kept your promise, Lord, and that he now can die and depart this earth in peace. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And this is so important because he says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, God has declared whose salvation is through. You see, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in need of salvation from our sins and God's righteous judgment upon that sin. And God provided that way of escape from judgment, that salvation, and he provided it through his son Jesus. And his son took on human flesh to die for our sins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. God took on human flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And if you'll remember what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1:21, and she, speaking of Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. God the Son, the Lord of all, took on human flesh, the Lord who is salvation. And so this godly saint, Simeon, is waiting for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Israel, which would come through the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, and blesses God, he speaks well of God by declaring the truth of his promise. My eyes have seen thy salvation.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give us some guidelines for applying what we've learned today.
Well, Dave, today we've seen a wonderful picture of a godly man. Simeon is righteous. He is devout and careful in his walk. He's spirit-led. He's humble, and he's waiting and seeking the fulfillment of the promises of Christ in regards to the forgiveness of sins. And he sees God as his absolute sovereign and himself as a servant. Well, brothers and sisters, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, by our new nature, when we yield to Christ, we are like this. But yet our old ways can creep in so subtly. Has the Lord convicted you today that maybe you're not spirit-led, yielded, devout, righteous, careful, humble? because sin has gotten in the way, well, just confess and be restored to the Lord and let God use the example of Simeon to encourage you to trust and abide in Christ and then allow His character to be manifest in you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.